Let me ask you something honest. When was the last time someone outside your church, someone with no religious background or Sunday morning habit and no category for what you believe, felt genuinely known by one of your people? Not targeted, not approached, not handed something, but known. Because there's a version of Easter outreach that is entirely transactional. You identify prospects, you build strategy, you send invitations, and people can feel every bit of it. The mechanism underneath the kindness, the agenda behind the smile. And then there's another way. It looks less like a campaign and more like life. It moves at the speed of relationship, and it costs more than a budget line. And it is by every measure the way that Jesus did it. So 4 weeks before Easter, we stop preparing and we start showing up. And we're here to take a fresh look at authentic incarnational evangelism. And it's all right here and right now and only on the Five Gifts podcast. You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast.
Well, welcome back to the Five Gifts Podcast. My name is Charles Russell. I'm here with my co-host, the Honorable Dr. Bruce Ritter, and this is Season 3, Episode 10, Part 3 of our five-episode series on planning an Easter service through the lens of strategic apostolic leadership and evangelistic mobilization. Well, I'm telling you, we're up on top of the mountain today. Heavy rains, high winds, tornado warnings, tornado watches. But we're strapped in, buckled in, belted in. A house goes, it's taking me with it. We're here for the podcast. And, man, just that everyone's here. Bruce, we're getting the weather here first. I know it's coming your way. So how's everybody in your neck of the woods?
Well, right now everybody's on the ground and safe. But sounds like we've got some high winds coming our way, some rain, possible tornadoes. So we're just going to trust the Lord in all this, and hopefully we'll make it out okay. But hey, what a couple of great days we had in Moravian Falls the end of last week with our educational cohort, and we spent some time on grounds that were once purchased and surveyed and part of the Moravians beginning to settle North Carolina with their outreach. And again, if you know any of the history of the Moravians, I just felt we were standing on some sacred ground and talking about the heart and the spirit of evangelism. And so that was, we're only three classes left in this year's cohort. We're starting taking enrollment, Charles, for next September. And so there'll be more information coming out in the next several weeks. If you're interested in pursuing a master's degree or a doctorate, maybe you're at that place in life where you need a fresh charge. You need some fresh ideas, and you want to take it in the realm of education. Well, think about us, because we can help you. We can help you do that.
Absolutely. And so I'm not only a doctoral student, but in this journey, and man, this cohort has been transformative for me. So just from a student's perspective, come and join us. Come be a part. In fact, you talked about some enrollment for next year and some upcoming information. Next month in April, we're going to have a free preview day. And so I know Bruce will be talking about that. But, you'll be able to come in and sit in on one of the class sessions, one of the days, and just get a taste, get a feel for what your education experience could be like. So just keep your heads up, ears out, in tune for some upcoming information about that, and mark your calendars and make plans to join us and just be a part of this education journey. It's great. And I know that your life will truly be enriched by it. All right. Well, today is session 3, episode 3, like we said, of this five-part series that we're in. And so let's kind of talk, let's kind of recap a little bit where we are in the journey. And so 6 weeks out, we identified the four. Remember, those are the four people within each evangelist relational network who are virtually disconnected. 5 weeks out, we talked about last week, you began fasting, began praying the six kingdom realities and discerning the receptive gates, those specific areas of felt need where the Spirit is already working in each person's life. And so now we're 4 weeks out from Easter, and something really shifts this week. All right. There's a marked change in this process, because up until now, the work has been almost entirely invisible. We've engaged in prayer, fasting, discernment, a silent kingdom release. Your evangelists have been blessing people, even though they haven't spoken to them yet about any of this evangelism process. But 4 weeks before Easter, we began to move from intercession now into incarnation. And so today in this episode, we're covering two things. First, we're going to talk about what incarnational evangelism actually means. And then why it is the theological foundation for everything that we're doing in this series. And then we'll get practical, because this week, your evangelists begin initiating conversations and releasing acts of compassion toward their four. Now, this is the week where prophetic atmosphere and apostolic structure begin to give way to evangelistic engagement and pastoral relationship. So up to this point, we've been building a fire in the Spirit, but this week we're going to step into the room.
I like that. We're stepping into the room, and that's exactly what we mean. And we're talking about the presence that we bring into outreach. But before we get into some of the practical mechanics of this week, Charles, let's talk about something that I think is essential, because if your people don't understand why they're doing what we're about to ask them to do, then compassion can feel mechanical. It can become a technique and just another step in the strategy, and people feel it. Charles, I don't know if you've ever had the experience of being invited to a get-together, and you realized it was one of the steps in a marketing campaign, and you knew that the person asking you your name was going through the mental steps of trying to keep your name in their memory, and because you knew there was a pitch coming. And so we don't want evangelism to be that. We want evangelism to be authentic and genuine. So let's talk about some of the theology underneath the strategy. This is what we call incarnational evangelism. And here's a reality. The most churches are willing to admit in private, but they rarely say out loud. Churches, all churches, can struggle to reach lost people. And it's not because they lack passion. It's not because they lack resources. And it's surely not because the gospel has lost its power, obviously. But often it's because we haven't built genuine pathways for God's lost sons and daughters to find their way home. And the first thing that has to shift before any strategy takes hold is that we need to invite God's empowerment for evangelism. Not just plan for it, not just train for it, but actually ask for it, to depend on it and to move in it. And so we've been talking a lot about prayer, beginning to intercede and fast and pray for your four. Now, here's why that matters. We represent Christ in how we speak, how we live, how we relate to the people around us. All of it represents Christ and gives him someone to work through. Remember that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." And that's an absolute theological statement, and we hold it without apology. But here's what's true. In many practical ways, you and I are the way to Jesus. And we become a pathway, a living introduction. Someone in your four may never walk through a church door unless they first walk through your life. So Jesus shows us the pattern. It's the incarnation. It's that Christ entered a human life fully. He didn't send a memo from heaven. He didn't broadcast the message with angels in the sky from a safe distance. He walked among people. He ate with them. He listened to them. He understood their struggles. And he loved them where they were. And then he called them somewhere better. And that's what we mean by incarnational reconciliation, incarnational evangelism. It means that we did not deliver a message from a distance. We enter into that relational world with people that God wants to reach. And we do what Jesus did. We listen, we care, we build trust, we share life. And reconciliation often happens in relationships, again, that carry the presence of Christ. Not just in the words that we say, but through the life of someone who represents him well. What a great idea to think about being a Christian. You represent the kingdom. You represent Christ. You represent the love of God. And I want to give you four practical expressions of this. I think four ways that we can teach our people to operate incarnationally as Christ's ambassadors over the next 4 weeks. Now, the first is one that I think everyone is familiar with, and maybe it might be the most scary, the most intimidating, and that's personal evangelism. That's where one person shares with another. It's conversational. It's just the place where we look for natural opportunities to share a testimony, to make a simple, clear presentation of the gospel, just in the context of a relationship. The second part or component of what I think of incarnational evangelism, I think it's relational evangelism. It happens through friendship and building community with people. It's where we show Christ by building genuine friendships. A great way to think about relational evangelism is friending. Now, people in our culture are deeply lonely. It's just symptomatic of a broken world and probably a technological age. And so people feel fragmented. People have a hard time even knowing how to relate to people anymore. But relational evangelism doesn't just build connection. It creates the environment where conversational evangelism becomes natural rather than forced. And you got to understand this. You're touching maybe not a felt need, maybe more of an unfelt need, but a need that is very intrinsic in a person's heart and life. The third is presence evangelism. That's where we embody the gospel through presence. This is where you pray for someone's felt need, then you do something about it. We've been talking about leaning into those six kingdom realities, and this is where prayer becomes action. It can become acts of kindness. It can become care, generosity. It's where you demonstrate Christ before you actually declare him. And that's where trust and credibility are built over time. It just builds our credibility, and it opens doors that an argument really never can. And the last part of incarnational evangelism has to involve the church. It's the church coming together in conversational, personal evangelism, relational evangelism, or presence evangelism. The church has to be an evangelistic community. This is where we build those pathways into the body through invitations and opportunities. It can be inviting your neighbor's kids to your VBS. It can be inviting your friend to a specific service that's more focused on the seeker and the searcher. And so we bring invitations to people, invitations to come and see. That's what Jesus did when he called his first disciples. Many times he said, just come and see. And so these environments, when a church is committed to it, their environment's designed so that someone who has never been inside a church can walk in and encounter Christ without feeling like a foreigner. And I want to tell you something about something I've heard recently that happened in another district of our Assemblies of God Fellowship. It's a colleague of ours. Charles and I know him well. And part of his role involves working with small rural churches. He does a lot more than that, but he has a special heart for those small rural churches and congregations that love their community deeply. They have faithful people. They've been showing up Sunday after Sunday for decades, but many of them haven't seen anyone come to faith in Christ or be baptized in years. In some churches, that the honest number they have to face is zero converts, zero people making professions of faith, zero baptisms. Well, last year, he brought about 30 to 40 of those churches together. They brought their pastors, their key leaders, and they did some training. He didn't start with marketing strategies or church growth techniques. Charles, you started with what we were talking about in this series, something far more foundational. He's asking those churches to begin identifying specific people in their lives who are far from God. And then he challenged them to pray for those people by name, fast for them, serve them, and intentionally invite them to Easter. And then he helped each congregation think carefully about how to prepare their Easter service and do follow-up so that someone who had never been to church could walk in and actually understand what was happening. And then something incredible happened. Across those churches last year, Easter attendance increased dramatically. In some cases, three times their usual Sunday attendance. But more significantly, among those 30 to 40 churches, 170 people or more made decisions to follow Christ and were baptized. Those churches didn't become larger or more resourced overnight. What changed was something deeper. They began to live like ambassadors for Christ. They began praying for people by name, aligning their lives with what God wanted to do in their communities. And it illustrates something. It's simply this: reconciled people, people who have genuinely encountered the grace of Christ, they become living representatives of Christ's reconciling presence. But here's a closing thought on that, Charles. Just like a garden can't produce fruit without tending the soil, planting the seed, the ministry of reconciliation, spiritual preparation, that means we do the groundwork. And so that's why the prayer, the fasting, the discernment of these two last weeks has not been optional groundwork. It's been the essential work. And the conversations that start this week are only powerful as the intercession that preceded them.
Yeah, man, that is absolutely true, Bruce. Thank you for really laying out the theology of incarnational evangelism for us. That really, you know, what you're talking about, really it reframes evangelism for us. It should give us a solid footing from which to launch into evangelism. This idea of incarnational evangelism now, it moves us from the pressure of, the old Dunkin' Donuts commercial of years past. It's time to make the donuts. The drudgery, just the mechanical way to approach it. So now all of a sudden, I really like the language you're using. We're ambassadors of the King, and ambassadors represent. So it's more than. Man, it's more than just punching the clock. It is waking up knowing that the mandate, and that's what it is, the mandate of evangelism is before us, but it's not one of drudgery and misery, but rather it is this adventurous life of being an ambassador for the King, serving at His pleasure. And following Him into pushing darkness back and into bringing lost sons and daughters back into the family and the kingdom of God. Hey, not that you need it from me, but great job, man. That was incredible. So, what Bruce has talked about, what he's laid out for us is really it's the why. It's the why behind everything we're asking our evangelists to do this week. So now let's kind of drill down a little bit and get specific, because knowing theology and executing the strategy are two different things. So let's talk about how this actually unfolds on the ground. So again, we're 4 weeks before Easter. Our evangelists have begun initiating conversations with their four. These are not spiritual conversations, not yet at least. They are, however, relational conversations. They're human conversations, right? So here's the assignment. Reach out to each person on your list. Again, that list of four. Reach out to each person on that list of four this week with one simple, genuine, sincere, authentic act of connection. It could begin with a text, a phone call, maybe an invitation to coffee, something that says, "I'm thinking about you," and shows that you really mean that. It's not just a, a statement to make, but it's a behavior. It's an action to be lived out in authenticity. So look, this is not a script. It's not a technique. It is a person who has been praying for someone for 2 weeks, who now picks up the phone and acts on what they've been praying. Look, we're not being random. We've spent 2 weeks in pretty intense prayer, and so now from that prayer time, we're acting on the things we've been praying. Because here's what our evangelists need to understand. By this point, something has likely already shifted, right? The fasting, the targeted prayer, the kingdom blessings being released over those 6 receptive gates, that spiritual work has been active. So there's a good chance that the person they're reaching out to has been carrying something differently without knowing why. Could be that marriages strained, maybe they've had a better week. Someone who's wrestling with direction, maybe they've started asking different questions. Anxiety that was constant, maybe they've had some moments of quiet in the past couple weeks. Look, your evangelist may not know that yet, but God does. And the timing of a genuine connection in that window is not coincidental. So when contact is made, the goal is simple. The goal is to listen. To listen. Did you hear that? All right, to listen. That's the goal. And in all of these conversations, these are listening conversations. Ask about their life. Don't ask leading questions with a gospel agenda that's kind of stitched underneath them, but genuine curiosity about how someone is actually doing. What's hard right now? What are you hoping for? Where do you feel stuck? And as you ask these questions, as you have conversation, again, remember the goal. Let's all say it together. It's to listen. So this is the moment where discernment from the previous weeks pay off. If the Holy Spirit has highlighted a specific receptive gate, if your evangelist senses that this particular person is carrying maybe relational pain or vocational confusion, maybe even financial pressure, a listening conversation in that direction is not manipulation. However, it is compassion. It's the difference between a sales call and a friend who shows up. So our job is to train our evangelists on this. We don't want to rush towards spiritual content. Let the conversation have a moment to breathe. So again, the goal of this week is not to show. The goal is to listen. It's to be someone who is genuinely safe. Someone that one of your 4 will want to say yes to in 3 weeks when an invitation comes.
I hear you, Charles. I hear you. I just want you to know I'm listening.
Good. For the first time in my life, someone's actually listening.
I hear you. I don't think we could ever overemphasize what Charles just said. Listen. Show compassion. In fact, one of the things that we've learned is that when someone feels genuinely listened to, there's a body chemistry that shows up and can't distinguish between being loved or being listened to. And I think that's an important thing to remember. And so these are the differences between the sales call, the pitch, and authentic friendship. And now conversation is one side of this week. The other side is action. And in many cases, action will open a door that words alone never could. So imagine bringing the presence of someone that is listening and caring and compassionate, and then actually doing or releasing acts of compassion. So a lot of those conversations that your evangelists are initiating, we want to assign one act of compassion toward each person and their 4 this week. It doesn't have to be elaborate. In fact, the simpler is usually the better. The point is not to impress someone. The point is not to go after the largest need, but it's to It's to go after the need, the point of God's activity in that person's life, and meet that need. It means to show up in a practical way that communicates, hey, you matter, your life matters, and I'm paying attention. So what does that look like? Well, it depends entirely on the person in the gate that's been discerned. For someone carrying financial stress, it might be showing up with a meal or quietly covering something small. For someone in a relational sense of pain and discomfort, it might be an afternoon spent just being present, not trying to fix anything, not advising, just being there, letting them talk. For someone wrestling with purpose, it might be a handwritten note that speaks to something that you genuinely admire in them or something that you see in their life as a real strength. Now, these are not random acts of kindness distributed to strangers. These are targeted. These are acts of kindness that are spirit-guided expressions of care toward people that your evangelists have been praying for 2 weeks. I don't think we can minimize how important it is that these 2 weeks of prayer have been. And because of that, they carry something that generic kindness doesn't carry. They carry the weight of those prayers behind them. And so this is where pastoral and evangelistic gifts work in tandem. That evangelistic gift sees the opportunity and initiates, and it's that pastoral gift that sustains the relational depth that makes the opportunity meaningful. So if you have people in your core team who carry both this week is where they shine. Document what happens. Write down, take notes of what's happening. And so encourage your evangelist to keep a simple log or a journal of people they've contacted, how it went, and what they sensed in the conversation. What the person is carrying and what act of compassion that they extend. In fact, it's a great parallel to write along in your journal as you've been praying for them. This is what I see God doing in their life. This is where conversations went today. Again, this is not bureaucracy. It's not marketing. This is stewardship. You're going to use this information in the weeks ahead to craft invitations that are personal and timely. And I think, Charles, genuinely compelling.
Yeah, amen to that. And so let's begin to kind of land the plane a little bit here and kind of bring all this together. We want to give your leadership team a clear framework for this week ahead. Just some practical leadership charge, if you will. This week, your assignment, leaders, has three parts, okay? First, you want to gather your evangelism core and review with them what they've been carrying. 2 weeks of prayer and fasting over their four, that is significant. And so you want to give them space to share what they've sensed and what they've observed. What the Spirit, this is not a commissioning. You're sending them from intercession into engagement. And so create space for them to share, but also for you to help them make that critical step of moving from intercession now into incarnation or engagement, as we've been talking about. Second part of the assignment is this: release them into conversations. One genuine point of contact per person, and therefore, there's no pressure to go spiritual, no script to memorize. Just show up, reach out, and listen well. And then third, you want to assign one act of compassion per person on their list. Help them think through what would be most meaningful given what they know. Make it specific. Make it personal, and by all means, make it real. And then continue fasting. Prayer and fasting never stops in this process. That doesn't end this week. In fact, prayer and fasting should intensify, because the conversations that begin this week really are the bridge toward the invitation that comes in week five. And every prayer prayed between now and then is doing work that your evangelists cannot see yet. So remind your people of this. You're not running a campaign, but you are representing a king. And the people in your four, they're not prospects. They are God's sons and daughters who just they don't know yet that they are loved by their Father. But that's who you are walking toward this week. And so we're just encouraging you to take this assignment and run with it this week with passion, intentionality, and just helping your evangelist to move into this second layer, if you will, of our evangelism process.
Charles, what great three concise steps to take. Please make sure that you go back and revisit each of those steps. They're vital follow-ups to what you've already been putting a lot of work and time into. As we close today, I want you to think about maybe a simple reflection question to carry into this week. Think about your own story. Think about the person or the moment or the community through which you began to genuinely consider that God might be real and that Christ might actually be who he claimed to be and that there might be something more. Chances are there was a person somewhere in that story. There was a church in that story. Someone somewhere in your life, they showed up and they listened. They gave you time. This was someone whose life carried something you couldn't fully explain, but you just couldn't ignore it. And that's where your evangelists have the chance to be the person for someone in the next 4 weeks. Not by having the right argument, not by saying the perfect thing. In fact, you know, I don't think there's any perfect witness. I just think there's a perfect work of the Holy Spirit. And that's what they do by being genuinely, consistently, and prayerfully present in someone's life at a moment when heaven is already moving. And this is not a program. This is the incarnation continuing through you into the world that God so loved. And so if you want to help building systems that allow your congregation to operate at that level, if you want coaching or integrating our church life missional model framework into your evangelism and Easter planning, well, we'd love to walk with you through it. And you can reach us at charlesrusselltraining.com, charlesrussellministries.com, or coachingcardia.com. And we work with fivefold leaders to build sustainable, spirit-driven ministry systems that can actually produce fruit.
So look, I think we've had a great episode today. And as we've talked about this week, this third week, moving towards Easter, and we're going to continue the journey. So we're praying for you this week as you lead your evangelist through the assignment. We're next to you. We're walking with you in faith in the journey. But next week, our next episode, we're going to move into the invitation strategy. So by then, your four have been identified. They've been prayed over. They've been blessed. They've relationally engaged. In other words, the soil has been tended, and now the seed is ready. So next week, we talk about how to extend an invitation that actually lands. So until then, keep showing up, listen well, serve specifically, and trust that the kingdom you've been releasing in prayer is already at work in ways that you have not yet seen. We'll see you next time right here on the Five Gifts Podcast.
You've been listening to the Five Gifts Podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments that give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.